Hello, and you're listening to Eco Justice Radio. My name is JP Morris, and today we have an interview hosted by Mark Morris, our executive producer. He'll be talking to Ryan Mena, Ariel Martinez-Cohen, and Gavin Pierce from the Zero Hour Movement. The mission of the Zero Hour Movement is to center the voices of diverse youth in the conversation around climate and environmental justice. Zero Hour is a youth-led movement creating entry point, training, and resources for new young activists and organizers wanting to take concrete action around climate change. And here to talk with us about the Zero Hour Movement is Ryan Mena. Ryan Mena is currently in her seventh semester with the Coursera. She's had a variety of different roles within the Coursera, including social media editor, managing editor, interim editor-in-chief, and staff writer. We also have Ariel Martinez-Cohen. She's a 16-year-old singer, songwriter, and activist. She's written numerous songs about climate change, as well as other issues like gun violence and women's empowerment. In January 2018, her song, 2 Minutes to Midnight, was used by the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists in their announcement of the Doomsday Clock, and in March 2018, she has sang her song Why at the March for Our Lives rally in downtown Los Angeles. Also joining us is Gavin Pierce. Gavin Pierce, also with the Zero Hour Movement, actually is one of the very many helpful people we have on the show here at Eco Justice Radio that helps you get the kind of stories that you need to hear. And now on to our interview. You're listening to Eco Justice Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Eco Justice Radio. Today, we are very honored to have with us three young organizers. And by saying young, I mean only in the sense of years, but not definitely not in the sense of passion and wisdom. They were part of a movement that's called This is Zero Hour, addressing environmental change, climate change, the need to address this environmental mess that we're in. And just to start off, I thought I'd read their mission statement. It says, the mission of This is Zero Hour movement is to center the voices of diverse youth in conversation around climate and environmental justice. Zero Hour is a youth-led movement creating entry points, training, and resources for new young activists and organizers, and the adults who support their vision, wanting to take concrete action around climate change. Together, we are a movement of unstoppable youth organizing to protect our rights and access to natural resources in a clean, safe, and healthy environment that will ensure a livable future where we not just survive, but flourish. So thank you so much for being here this evening. And I'd like to start off with Ariel. You know, you actually were involved in the group that went to Washington, D.C. This was explain to our listeners everything that happened.
Yeah. So the National March kind of, it was a 3-day event. The first day, over 100 youth or teens and people, you know, a little bit older, we all had meetings with different senators, and we kind of told them what our platform is about and what we would like to see done, you know, in the near future and in the far future for climate action. And then the second day was, it was the Zero Hour Art Day. And so it basically featured like the banners that people were held on the march on Saturday. And there's these other things called Parachutes for the Planet. And it during the art day, they laid out 130 of the parachutes, and people could just walk around and kind of look at them. And then also they had a few bands perform, and I was one of the performers as well.
Wow, that's great. And the march in D.C. was part of a worldwide action.
Yeah.
That here in Los Angeles, Gavin, you were one of the organizers here in Los Angeles. What made you step up to do this kind of thing?
Yeah, so I've been organizing students here in LA for a couple of years now, and I think just in the last few months, I realized how significant it is for young people to start mobilizing on climate change. Because, you know, as it reaches peak levels, especially here in like the coming decades, our generation ultimately is going to be the one responsible for picking it up when it's at its worst, you know, kind of cleaning up the mess. And so I think it's about starting that work now, getting organized now. That way we have the foundation in place when things really start to get bad.
Wow. Wow. That's great. And Ryan, you are a journalist.
Yes,
and,
I am.
Yes, who stepped up to report the event here in Los Angeles. What brought you to this?
Well, I found this event on a Facebook page. Their Facebook event, this is Zero Hour Los Angeles. And I read a little bit about it, and I decided, wow, this is very compelling, very interesting. I'm going to click attend and then put it in my calendar and see what happens.
Wow, that's great. You know, one of the things that, you know, I spoke with you earlier that I wanted to ask is maybe give you a stick and poke me every time I say young or you're youthful. Because quite frankly, I as an older person, you know, that... was young at one time and actually, you know, was part of the movement to change the voting age to 18 and one of the first 18-year-olds to do that in a presidential election. We've done a lot of stuff wrong. We mean well, but sometimes there's a tendency for when you attach the word youth or young to something that can imply a certain, you know, the kids or just those humans sitting in the back seat of the car that have to keep from, you know, that us adults have to keep from hitting each other on the way to Disneyland or something. How do you feel about that? Do you feel like being called young activist or youthful or anything like that puts you into a demographic that maybe doesn't have enough attention paid to you?
I think as a young journalist, whenever I'm covering events, just the fact that I'm a lot younger than most of the reporters at the events I cover, I think people might take me a little less seriously just because I'm not a full-on adult yet, I guess. I'm a young adult. And so that's just something, I guess, sometimes I feel like I have to compensate for. And
well, okay.
Yeah. It's a bit tricky.
But I got to tell you, you're a very good writer.
Because thank you.
The reason you're here is because I read your article on Corsair and found it very good, very well done.
Thank you.
You know, and didn't see any kind of, you know, youngishness.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Right. Moving into this sphere of, coming up behind a whole lot of very well-intended people that have been changing their light bulbs and getting, you know, energy-saving refrigerators and stuff like that. Climate change is here now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And is this, you know, and the impact of it is especially to your generation is now. Is that part of what drives this, the urgency of what's going on right now?
Yeah, definitely. The movement is called This Is Zero Hour, which basically means this is pretty much the last generation that will be able to act on climate change. And so that's definitely like a driving force. And it is kind of frustrating sometimes because when we were actually lobbying in Washington, D.C. in the Senate office building, one of the senators was saying right now people who want to see climate action are mostly playing the role of defense and trying to keep policies that are already in place. So it's kind of frustrating because even though it is like an urgent issue, things...
Wow. Because there's a bowl in the China shop or in the Oval Office that is, breaking a lot of what's been accomplished so far? Is that what they were
referring to? It's not completely directed to just the person, you know, right. In the Oval Office. It's directed, you know, just to people, to elected officials who have been taking money from fossil fuel corporations,
yeah.
And people who are not really, you know, motivated to get policies.
Yeah. And Gavin, did you know, like, because this happened throughout the nation or throughout the world, the movement, especially the march and rally that was on the 21st, did you have any contact with any of the organizers in any of the other states or cities other than Los Angeles?
It was pretty localized here in LA, but what was really interesting about the event here on the ground was that we were collaborating a lot with organizers in other areas as well, and kind of finding the intersectionality of different issues. So, like, for example, we had partnered with the Families Belong Together March to kind of hit intersectional messages, wow. of, you know, the overlap of climate change and immigration, and, you know, how are we going to deal with this influx of climate refugees that's been projected for the next few years.
Decades. Which is being driven by climate change issues, right? Is
yeah.
that the yeah. And you know, Ryan, you know, with journalism that you know, as a young journalist, you know, here I go again, quote me. but yeah, with the stick out. But as a journalist that is living in a climate on fire, and is basically inheriting a future, you know, what in journalism can, you know, are you satisfied with the kind of journalistic coverage any of this gets on the, you know, as it is now, how the...
Like on the mainstream media? Or,
yeah.
I think there should be more overall coverage on climate-related issues. But, I mean, that's for every journalist to decide for themselves if they do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I'm doing as much as I can as a journalist, but I can't. I'm only one journalist. So I think all other journalists should continue to and strive to continue to cover more of these issues that our whole population, the whole world is having to deal with on a daily basis.
Wow. Ariel, it looked like you had something that, you were going to jump in.
Yeah, I recently just saw this tweet from the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists saying that out of the 127 news outlets that reported on this extreme heat wave that the world is experiencing right now and the fires that are coming out of that, only one news outlet referred to climate change, which is kind of
interesting.
Worrying.
Yeah, and that's very worrisome.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, as a journalist, you work to connect the dots, I think. Like, this is happening, and why is it happening, and how they tie together.
Well, you know? Like Ryan's saying, you know, Gavin, you did the event here in Los Angeles. Did you get any press coverage? Like, how was the press coverage of what happened here?
Yeah, I mean, there was a little bit there, but not a lot of mainstream coverage. Like, a lot of what we saw was grassroots live streamers, people who are kind of already part of the movement, so to speak. But yeah, I mean, I think it's shocking, really, how little that the mainstream media wants to address climate change and its full scope, too. Like, one thing I see a lot is that the narrative on climate change as it is today doesn't seem to have quite enough urgency in it. You know, it's very focused on, like, you know, this kind of abstract idea of what could happen in the future rather than, like, what we need to be doing now to fight
it. Which has led me, to being so interested in what it is that was happening is that it became very clear that you're talking about a problem that's happening now. You're not talking about some kind of ideology or idea or maybe or a hoax. You know, you're talking about literally something that's impacting your lives now, and something needs to be done about it. So, yeah.
Yeah, something happening now that's going to continue to escalate and escalate and escalate, you know, unless we start doing something now. So definitely bringing that urgency to the issue is, I think, a big part of what young people need to do.
Well, Ariel, when you know, in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. and the things you did in D.C., was there, did it give you a boost? Did it, was there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because okay. a lot of times you see organizers and activists who are around your age on like social media, like on Facebook and Instagram and stuff. But when you're around them, you know, in person, it kind of gives you like inspiration, you know, just to see their passion in person.
Okay. Okay. You know, because that's another thing, you know, Ryan, you know, with what you were saying is that you made me think, and also Gavin, what you had mentioned, that the kind of sources of information now, whether it's, you know, Facebook or YouTube, whatever medium that's available now, you almost have to be looking for it, or you have to be interested in it to begin with and find it. Whereas like with mainstream media, they have more of a platform to put the story out there. And let people that may not, like you know, those that are listening right now that may have just kind of tuned in and hear our voices and wonder, you know, like what's going on? You know what I mean? So, and again, Ryan, how would you, like with what you know about journalism and what is capable of happening, what would you change in to maybe take away of this where you didn't necessarily have to be looking for the information to find it, but the information can find you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that the mainstream media needs to pay more attention to what's happening locally and how everyday people are being affected by it every single day of their lives. And how, yeah, it's not like it's something that might happen in the future. It's like, no, this is happening now. The day of the march, it was super duper hot.
Yeah.
Like, it's been hot in LA for past at least a week. If not more.
Oh, there's been deaths in Japan due to record heats. And yeah, you know, and so how would, you know, like with organizing, Gavin, and rallies with you know, Ariel, with music and art and everything else, what do you feel you like is the next step? Is like this isn't a one-time deal. This is you're bringing attention. You're actually bringing the information to the bigger picture rather than just sitting back passively and waiting for something to happen. You're willing to make it happen. So what are next steps?
Definitely trying to keep the momentum going. Hopefully getting more media coverage. To, you know, continue to get youth in the conversation of climate change. And we were talking with the LA Zero Hour team, just maybe joining with Stand LA and trying to do work there. Yeah.
Yeah, for our listeners, Stand LA is an organization that's working directly with issues that impact the neighborhoods and demographics, communities that are generally underrepresented when it comes to the impact of the industries that are actually creating the problems that are leading to climate change. So, wow, that's great. You're gonna and I know Gavin, you've done some work with Stand LA also, right?
Yeah. I've done some work with Stan in the past, and I think it's really important for young people who are just now starting to get into environmental organizing to get involved with these kind of campaigns, you know, whether it's fighting to end neighborhood drilling or focusing on any of the other multitude of issues we're facing here on a local level. You know, just bringing the youth voice to that work holds a lot of value, I think, because we can carry that weight and get in and give, you know, fresh energy to it, help support however we can.
Wow. And Ryan, I imagine you'll be in on that too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And also, like, going back to the mainstream media type thing, I think they need to pay attention to, for example, this is Zero Hour, what the public is fighting for and what the public wants to have changed. Because, you know, there's been so many protests in the past year or two, I mean, since Trump has been president, but, like, there's been so many, and that, like, just shows that the public really cares about these issues that they're fighting for and they're organizing for. And I think it should be the mainstream media's duty and job to report on that, because people have a voice and they're using it.
Right. And a lot of this, what this came out of was the situation was the tragic shooting situation in Florida. But, you know, and that's what blows my mind is that, does it have to come down to some kind of tragedy, you know, like some kind of visual, you know, like something that they can get headlines on? Or is this something that, you know, can get the information out, let people know, get action taken without anybody having to necessarily die in the process?
Yeah, I don't think it should have to come down to that at all. You know, I don't think anything should be lost in order for it to get mainstream media attention or coverage.
Right. Yeah, I think that's also one of the challenges of the movement, just because the March for Our Lives movement had a lot of momentum. You know, a lot of people sometimes think that climate change, because they can't see like the pollution in the air necessarily, mm-hmm. they don't really feel like it's affecting them, but people are dying right now because of it. And so.
Wow. So, again, in the spirit of moving forward, is there anything our listeners can do to help? Are there going to be, this is Zero Hour, are there going to be any Zero Hour groups that are going to be developed in other schools and other venues? You know, is there going to be, what's that, what's moving forward?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of value in, you know, what you were kind of talking about in regards to, like, taking it to campuses and things like that, in the sense that there's definitely room to grow the movement, to take it into schools, to get more people involved, and, you know, from there to just have that much more support to get behind, you know, the issue of climate change.
Yeah, cool. And Ariel, what, you know, you're an artist, you know, what is your plans, you know, personally and, you know, in the future? That
I actually think I'm going to get more involved with the Zero Hour Core team, but I also hope to bring it forward in LA as well, getting more local issues, you know, into the group, expanding the group to different schools, attending more climate marches and rallies, you know, just really working on that. And yeah, hopefully my song helps, you know, in any way that it can.
Oh, that's great. And so, you know, Ryan, did you always want to be a journalist? Is this something that you...
Well, I actually realized I had a senior project in 12th grade in high school where I had to go around LA finding or interviewing people about GMOs and fast food industry and factory farming. And it was really the investigating and like the truth finding that really made me realize, like, wow, I want to do this for the rest of my life. And well, here I am.
Well, that's great. That's great. Yeah. You know, and Gavin, you know, did you plan on organizing rallies or getting how many people showed up at the at Los Angeles event?
I think that between our march, the Zero Hour rally and the Families Belong Together rally, that there was a couple thousand people.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know an exact number, but there was definitely a good crowd. I mean, you know, marching down the street, you could look back and just see people until the horizon. So
wow. And you know, when you were in high school, did you think you'd be doing something like this?
Not at all, honestly. I always had, you know, the passion about the issue, but I mean, I grew up in Kansas. I moved out here to LA 3 years ago. And so you know, in that background, there's not a lot of work being done in Kansas to connect with. Whereas when I found myself here, all of a sudden there's all these activists, all these organizations, all these people ready to start fighting. And so, you know, I just started connecting with that right away and kind of found myself just swept into this world of activism. Yeah.
That's great. Well, we need to wrap up. You know, I want to thank everyone for tuning in and listening to our conversation. And especially, you know, if you're listening in and you want to be able to do something, contribute to these solutions and be one of these activists, is there anything you'd like to suggest that as follow-up?
Yeah. You can go to thisiszerohour.org. Look for other climate organizations on Facebook. If you see any climate-related tweets or Instagram posts, post them and get people involved in the conversation.
Okay, great. And, yeah. And Gavin, what lies ahead that people can help with?
Yeah, so to speak directly to any young people that might be listening, just remember to get involved. You know, I think that we're at a unique point right now in the country and in the world where young people's voices are starting to really be amplified. And so there's a lot of potential there if we all mobilize, if we all get behind these issues. So, you know, find whatever it is you're passionate about. If it's climate change, awesome. Come, you know, meet up with us and the Zero Hour team.
Cool. So, and yeah. Ryan, what would you like to suggest maybe for anyone who'd like to be a journalist or get into the, you know, to follow up on what you're writing about?
Well, my content is available on thecorsaironline.com. And for anyone who wants to stay up with the news, look at and read the news and watch the news. I think everyone should know what's going on in the world around them because they inhabit the world. And why wouldn't you want to know what's happening around you?
Wow, that's great. Thank you so much, all three of you, for coming in to our show and doing this today.
And that is it for our show. Thank you for tuning into Eco Justice Radio. I want to thank Ariel, Ryan, and Gavin for coming onto the show. Eco Justice Radio is brought to you by SoCal 350 and KPFK. Executive producer and host of the interview, Mark Morris, and original music by Javier Caudry. My name is JP Morris, and until next time, remember, the power is yours.